Amen. And we're going to be reading tonight from the book of Luke. The book of Luke in the 17th chapter, verse 5 and verse 6. Luke 17, verse 5 and verse 6. It's good to have Matthew here tonight. Matthew Tenney, good to see you. God bless you. And was this also Sister Lewis with you tonight. God, you're here. God bless you. Amen. Good to have Brother Hudson and Sister Hudson here tonight. Good to see y'all. Bless you. Amen. And Sister Lozano, is this, all right, this is Renee. We're glad you're here tonight. God bless you. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here. And we're going to be looking tonight about a grand subject, growing your faith. How many would like to grow your faith tonight? The Bible teaches us how to grow our faith. Amen. And I think that's important. So let's look at this verse tonight. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now I want you to notice that as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, Jesus is leading to a question. I think this is very significant tonight that Jesus had just been teaching on the subject of forgiveness. And when he got through talking about the necessity of forgiveness, the disciples said, increase our faith. Sometimes one of the hardest things that we have to do is forgive. As a matter of fact, I think it's humanly impossible to forgive as we ought. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, you probably won't. Amen. When I get hurt, I don't forget it very easy. Do you? I look at my body, you may be seated. I look at my body and I've got scars all over it. And I can tell you by looking at those scars just about everything that happened to me. I don't forget. I've got a big old scar here where I fell out of an apricot tree. I was trying to reach an apricot way out there and fell. Cut my arm coming down. I remember that. I was probably about 8 years old. That's a long time to remember something, isn't it? But you know what? It don't hurt. I just remember it. There's no pain. I just remember it. And then I've got another scar where when I was real stupid, about 12 years old, I stuck my hand through a broken window to open it up, and somebody hit it and knocked it into a shard of glass coming down like that and stabbed it right in the center of it. And I remember that. How could you forget, huh? I remember that. I do. No, it don't hurt. There's no pain. But I remember it. And so you too, you've got scars that you remember, right? But it doesn't hurt. You just say, you can even say, it was silly of me. And you can tell the story. And that's what forgiveness does for us. Forgiveness is what cleans the wound and allows it to heal. And then when it's healed, you still remember what happened, but there's no pain associated with it. Because all of the infection is out and the healing is complete and it left a scar, and you'll always remember the scar and you remember what happened, but there's no more pain. That's what forgiveness is. How do you know when you've forgiven? When it doesn't hurt anymore. That's how you know when you've forgiven. You remember it, but it just doesn't hurt anymore. And God talked about the necessity of our forgiving others. And when he got through, the disciples said, "Woo, Lord, you're going to have to increase our faith here. If we got to do that, we're going to have some help. Increase our faith." And then Jesus begins to tell them about faith. He likened faith to a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. I used to have some mustard seed from a trip I took to Israel years ago. And it's hard to pick one up. Matter of fact, the best way to pick it up is like sand. You just press your finger on it, And you'll pick it up, and it'll be like a grain of sand on the end of your finger. That's a mustard seed. And he said, but when you plant that seed, it literally makes a tree. Isn't that amazing? Something that is as small as a grain of sand, but when it's nourished and allowed to grow, it literally will become a tree. And birds can rest in its branches and find shelter beneath its leaves. And that's the power of that little mustard seed. And Jesus said faith is like that. It doesn't take a lot. Just use what you got. Amen. Faith. Faith in them. Faith, somebody said, is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Amen. And so faith is it's a process of time. But it grows like a seed. I've referred to this before. It's like education. Do you remember when you first started reading? And you got your little reader and you opened it up and you said, see the cat. The cat runs fast. You were doing good, huh? You remember how hard that was? It was a challenge to learn to read, but now that's elementary. You just see the cat runs fast. It's easy, nothing to it. And you can read big words now. But you see, there's a process, wasn't it? It took a while, it's happened so long ago, that's so easy, you don't even think about it. But at the time, it was difficult. Faith's like that. You go through situations, and you think, how in the world am I going to get through this? But faith is exercised, and faith in God, and God helps you, and you get through your situation. And when you get through that situation, then you're stronger. And after a while, another trial comes, and it's easier to get through that one because you came through another one. And you got to thinking that if God can do that, then God can do this. And if God can do this, then God can do that. And if God can do that, He can do anything. And if He can do it for him or for her, He can do it for me. He can do it for anybody. And so faith grows like a seed. And it's important that we let faith go. God is going to give you situations and allow things to come into your life, and you're going to grow by those things. Amen. The Bible teaches us how important faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. The Bible said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Notice a few things here. First of all, when you come to God, you must believe that there's a God. You don't have to know everything there is to know about God. You just have to believe that there is one. And then you also need to believe that He's a rewarder. In other words, He answers. That He rewards those that, and here's the key word, that diligently seek Him. Not casually. Not casually, not in crisis mode, but people that diligently seek Him. He said, I will answer them. I will answer them. And so when we seek after God diligently, His promise is that He will answer and reward us. And I've found that to be true. How about you here tonight? Amen. I have found that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. And then, going back a few verses to Hebrews chapter 2, going down to verse number 4. Let me start with verse number 2. The Scripture said, for by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good report. Amen. That's how you obtain a good report before God is through faith. Just being faithful. Just being faithful. Don't take a whole lot. Just being faithful. Just showing up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes folks think, well, you know, I don't feel like going to church, but you know, just showing up means something. All the time people apologize, Brother Grissom, I'm sorry, I sure was. I was so tired. Well, I'm just glad you came. God's glad you showed up. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're here, and it counts for a lot. And the Bible said, through faith we understand. Repeat that with me. Through faith we understand. A lot of things that'll happen in your life, you will understand by faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to have an explanation that satisfies you. God does not always give you an explanation for what He does. He doesn't owe you one. He's God. And I'm convinced that I couldn't understand some things anyway. I don't have what it takes to understand some things, you know? Amen. So I just don't have it right now. Well, someday I will when I'm like Him. But right now I just don't have it. I'm a little short. Amen. Amen. Now, you're smarter than I am, I'm sure. But every now and then there's things I just can't grasp. And so without faith, it's impossible to, he said, through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's a very, very interesting and profound verse. Amen. That the Bible teaches that the world was framed by the word of God. That's what Genesis said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did He create it with? His word. That's it, just His word. That is absolute power. When you can speak into nothing and create something, that's great power. When you can speak in the darkness and say, let there be light, and light appears. There's no power like that power. Amen. And, you know, people can make things. And I'm amazed at what people can make. But we had a bunch of materials at my house, and all of a sudden it looks like a house almost. Isn't that amazing? Get a bunch of boards, and you start slapping them together, and the next thing you know, it takes a shape, and it looks like a house, and you put some siding on there, and a roof on there, and all those materials, suddenly they look like. And that's amazing that we can make things like that. But you see, God is an absolute creator. He didn't have anything to work with but His Word. All He had to work with, He thought what He wanted, and then He spake what, and He created what He wanted. Said before, well, if you had wood, you could make a pulpit, but how do you make a tree? God made the tree. Amen. And it was nothing. And suddenly there was trees and grass and vegetation, and God made that with His word, and that's faith. I know it takes a lot of faith to believe that, amen, but it takes more faith to believe in a creation without God. It does. To believe that all of this came as a result of some accident or some explosion or who knows what. Who knows what? Because we don't know. So people that will condemn you for faith in God, well, they have to have faith in evolution. Yes, they do. They have to have faith in an unfounded science. Yes, they do. Both of them are faith. Don't tell me evolution is not faith. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. That's faith in man and man's theory. And if that's what you want to believe, that requires faith. If you want to take the Word of God, you've got to have faith in the Word of God and in God. But both of them are faith. And some people say, well, you can't teach evolution or creationism in school because it's faith. Well, that's what it is, also faith. That's right, because you try to doubt them and see what happens. You try to bring up any other theory and see what happens. They'll crawl all over you. Because it's a matter of faith. Well, that's true because science said so. Can you prove it? No. But we say so. And we make the rules and we're smart. So you got to believe it. But they accuse us of doing the same thing in the religious realm. So I guess you just got to decide who you want to believe. Which side you want to be on. Amen. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And so it's important that we have faith and we understand by faith. So how do we increase our faith? In the book of Jude chapter 20, he said, "But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So one way that we increase by praying, we increase our faith by praying. Faith requires prayer, doesn't it? The fact that you're speaking to a God that you cannot see requires faith. Isn't that right? Amen. Somebody said, "Who are you talking to?" "I'm talking to God." Amen. "I don't see Him." Well, there's a lot of things I've heard people say that. I don't believe in anything I can't see. That's not true. How many believe in electricity? Have you ever seen electricity? But you can feel it, can't you? Anybody ever felt electricity? Anybody again? Amen. Yes, Brother Johnson, but we can see what it does. Yeah, I don't know why that thing's turning, but there's electricity doing it. I can't see it, but I can see it. You can't see God, but you can see what God's done. You can see His creation. You can see His righteousness in His people. You can see His joy upon His people. You can see His peace upon their lives. You can see what God has done. Amen. Can't see God, but you can certainly see the result of what God has already done. And so we build our faith in prayer. And every time you pray, your faith increases. Amen. Prayer is a powerful relationship. When you go to God in prayer, it doesn't need to be routine. When you pray, prayer should never be the same. There should be times that you go to pray and you don't ask not for one thing. There should be times that prayer is just really, it's all about praise and just fellowship with God and just enjoying the presence of the Lord and the sweet Spirit of God and just enjoying Him. You see, in the Holy Ghost, that's a form of prayer. And then there's other times, that's for many things. Amen. But prayer, it needs to be spontaneous. It needs to be living. Amen. That your prayer is not just a routine. That you through something that the Lord gave us the model prayer, the Lord's prayer, we call it, and that's something that you repeat like rubbing a good luck rabbit's foot. No, there's not any power in repeating those words. That's a model. We're not just to repeat that as some kind of a talisman or some kind of a good luck charm. That's not what prayer is. He said you can use this model, but this is the way we pray, and it's a model prayer. But you pray it in your own words, and you follow a form of praise and the kingdom of God and asking for forgiveness for yourself and for others and then petition, and all those things are included in the Lord's Prayer. But it's just prayer needs to be a living thing. It's a relationship, conversation. It's not the same, is it? Whenever you talk to one another, you don't always say the same things. "Honey, I love you. You are good to me." No, it's not like that, is it? Amen. Sometimes somebody says, "I love you," by filling up your gas tank. All right? My wife got the car today. I put my gas in and ran over and got hers going and went back. Mine was finished and ran over and got hers finished. And you see, that's love, isn't it? And I'll do that for people I don't like. But I'll do it for my wife. I'll do a lot of things for my wife. Hard to do for anybody else. But you see, that isn't that a way of saying that you love somebody? And you say it with words and conversation and so many ways. It's a relationship. prayer's like that. Prayer's about, it's about talking to God and listening. Listening. And letting God speak to you. Does God speak to us? Oh, yeah. Amen. It may be an audible voice, or it may. I don't know. But you'll know when He speaks. How many know when the Lord speaks? How many knows when you've heard from God? Sure you do. There's just a confirmation in your spirit that I've heard from the Lord. Amen. There's a peace. There's a contentment. There's a joy. I've heard from God. So prayer then is one of the ways we increase our faith. Talking to God. Knowing God's listening. Knowing God responds. And you're calling out to Him. And He's responding to you. And we couple that. Remember when Jesus had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And when He got down there, His disciples were surrounded by the scribes. And it looked like they were having a conversation with His disciples. And goes over to see what's happening. And there's a man there. And he's talking. And Jesus is trying to figure out what's going on. And this man said, "I brought my son to your disciples. He is possessed of a spirit. And it's a suicide. And he's always trying to kill himself. We have to watch him constantly. If he gets close to a fire, he'll try to jump in it and burn himself. If he gets close to water, he'll try to jump in and drown himself. We have to constantly be watching and guarding him because he has this spirit that wants to destroy him. I asked your disciples if they could cast it out, but they were not able to do so. And then he said, Lord, if you can, help me. And Jesus said, if you believe. And I love the man's reply. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou unbelief. You see, we don't need any help with our faith. We need help with our doubts. We need help with our unbelief. That's the part that's lacking. Thank you for the faith, God, that I have, but help me with the part I don't have. Complete me, I pray. Help me to do everything that I need to do and everything I can do. And then Jesus, acting on that man's honesty and that man's faith, he cast the spirit out of that boy and it left him and he was healed from that moment forth. And later his disciples said, Lord, why could we not cast out that spirit? They'd cast out devils before. And Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You see, fasting reinforces prayer. Fasting strengthens. Now, fasting is not something that God is impressed by our sacrifice. There are many people that in many religions that sacrifice far more than Christians do. It's not sacrifice, it's obedience. But as you fast and your fasting helps you to focus on prayer. It relieves, it helps you to conquer the strengths of the flesh. And it causes you to make your weaknesses strengths. So fasting is important. And it, coupled with prayer, it becomes a powerful weapon in increasing faith. I have seen incredible answers because of fasting with prayer. Prayer with fasting. How many have seen those happen? Amen. I've watched people that they were praying. I know they were praying and it wasn't happening. But then they coupled it with fasting and something happened. Something broke. God did something phenomenal. It was fasting and prayer. And it did something that prayer alone just couldn't do. Amen. I know people personally that have been saved because their mate got so hungry that said, well, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray until then. They got to fasting and praying, and guess what? Somehow they got saved. It worked. God was somehow able to get through. Amen. So what prayer alone will not do, fasting will, prayer will give you a spiritual power that prayer alone did not have. And you will be able to accomplish things and your faith will increase. And your faith will increase. Isn't that amazing what happens when you pray? You know, you come in, have you ever come to pray and you felt so weak and defeated and discouraged and you got to praying? Woo, hallelujah. About a lady one time, she come to the pastor and she was ready to quit. And she said, "This is my last time here, Pastor. I'm just, you know, I just can't make it anymore. I've tried and I'm just weary. I'm discouraged and I just can't go any further." And she started telling him all of her trouble. And he said, "Sister, I understand. I understand." He said, "Would you just do me one favor?" She said, "Sure." He said, "I want you to go to the prayer room. And I want you to tell God what you just told me." Well, she was gone. And when she came back, she was glowing. She had a big smile on her face. And she said, "You know what? I ain't quitting. I'm not going back. I'm not giving up. Hallelujah. Hey, God's been too good to me. Hey, amen. I believe I can make it now. Hey, amen. A little bit of prayer and a little bit of fasting." Hey, amen. And the next thing you know, she's ready to go on. You and I, we've all been there. Hey, amen. So fasting with prayer and prayer with fasting increases our faith. The Word of God increases our faith. Amen. The Bible said that God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to some that believe. God chose that. He could have chosen anything He wanted, but He chose preaching. That's why it's important that you and I hear preaching. Preaching is the Word of God, isn't it? Now, it can just be foolishness. Amen. There's the foolishness of preaching, and then there's foolish preaching. And foolish preaching doesn't accomplish much. It doesn't. But you know what? Anointed preaching does. Because it feeds your spirit. It touches you. It moves you. It motivates you. It builds your faith. It causes you to rise. It causes you to leave strengthened. It answers questions in your mind and in your spirit. Amen. Anointed preaching feeds the flock that God has provided. There's something about preaching that is powerful. It feeds your faith. Feeds your faith. Amen. Yes, it does. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14, "How then shall they call in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Amen. So the Word of God comes sometimes through preaching, but it also comes through reading and meditation and memorization. Amen. What was it the psalmist said? He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, O God." Amen. So you can take the word and you can put it on the inside. That increases your faith. And then what Jesus used when Satan come and tempted him, what did he use? The Word of God. Amen. Satan told thee, he said, command these stones to be made bread. He said, "Thou shalt not, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Amen. He turned him away. He said, "Cast yourself off this pinnacle, this temple." Amen. And the angels are given charge. They're going to lift you up. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. Amen. Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good advice, isn't it? Amen. Amen. If you're picking up sticks like Paul was and a serpent latches onto you, God will protect you. But if you bring a box of serpents in here and start passing them around, I ain't promising nothing. That's a whole different thing. That's tempting the Lord. When you grab a snake out of a box to show somebody how spiritual you are, that's spiritual pride. That's not faith. Amen. And it could get you dead. It has a few folks. Amen. And so that's the difference. Amen. And so, Whenever we use the Word of God, it builds faith. Faith. Praise the Lord. And you can use the Word of God to encourage yourself. Amen. And it's a great weapon, isn't it? It increases faith. It's powerful. I love that story. I think I've told some of you before. Of the little lady, beautiful message about underneath the wings of the Lord and underneath His wings there's protection, and preacher was preaching about the wings of the Lord and the protection of the Lord and comforted and strengthened by that. And the next day she went to work and had to work late, and it's dark. She's headed to her car. It's night. She hears footsteps clump, 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 clump coming behind her, and she speeds up. The footsteps speed up. The footsteps start running. And they're catching up with her. She's getting closer and closer. All of a sudden she stops and she whirls around, and she's trying to think of that verse. She can't remember it. She says, "Feathers, feathers, 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 feathers." And he turned around and ran. Oh, this woman out of her mind. Even if you don't get it quite right, it still works. Because there's power in the Word of God. Amen. There's power in the Word of the Lord. Amen. So the Word of God increases your faith. It's important that we read it. It's important that we study it. It's important that we hide it in our heart. It's important we hear it and listen to it. Amen. Jesus, when He began to preach that in the beginning of His ministry, He was preaching at the seashore, and the crowd was pressing Him actually back into the sea. He had no standing room. He crawled into that boat, and He asked the guys in the boat, He said, "Would y'all just move out here a little bit in the water, and I'll just finish my message out here." Amen. So Jesus sat in the boat and finished His sermon, and then when He got through, He said, let's go fishing. Launch out into the deep. They let down your nets for a great catch of fish. And they looked at Him and they said, "Lord, we've been fishing all night. We didn't catch nothing." And He said, "We cast your net on the right side." Amen. If you're not catching anything, get it on the right side. Maybe you've been fishing on the wrong side. So they fished out and they put down the nets. And the Bible said, all of a sudden, this carpenter telling these fishermen how to fish. Amen. And all of a sudden, their nets began to break. Their boat began, and they had to call for help. "Hey, we need some help over here, guys. We got more than we can handle." Amen. Faith did that. Faith in the Word of God did that. Amen. So, but the Bible, and love what Peter said. He said, "Look, all night long." He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." "At thy word, we'll let down the nets." Amen. You know, faith's not always what you feel. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not always something you feel. Faith oftentimes has no emotion. It's just simple obedience. It's just doing what you know you should do. It's not, doesn't make you turn double back flips and cartwheels, but it's just knowing what you do. You know it's right. You obey it. You do it, and God honors it. That's faith. So He said, "We'll just let down the nets." They did, and wham! My, what a catch! Amen. And then I love the story that Jesus experienced in Luke chapter 7. The Bible talks about a man. He was a centurion. He was actually an officer in the Roman army. The centurions were the backbone of the Roman army, and this came to him and to Jesus, and he said, "My servant is sick, ready to die." And so Jesus said, "He said, I will come," and He said, "I'll come and I'll heal him." Amen. When he said that, the man said, no. He said, "Lord," he said, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to come with me." He said, "I'm a man under authority." He said, "I say to this servant, go, and he goes, and that servant to come, and he comes." He said, "I'm under authority." He said, "But if you'll just speak the word." Woo! Isn't that great? He said, "If you'll just speak the word." Amen. That's all it's going to take. You don't have to come. You don't have to go. All you got to do is just say it. And the Lord marveled at his faith. Amen. He marveled at his faith. And from that the Bible says, for that his servant was healed. Here's something really awesome in that story. Some people struggle with faith when they don't feel the presence of God. But the Word of God is just as powerful and just as true and just as active whether you feel anything or not. Now, I like feeling, and you do too. And we experience a lot of it. But let me just say, the Word of God is the same whether you feel it or don't feel it. And that's what the servant learned. He said, I don't have to have your presence to experience your Word. Amen. In other words, he said, I exalt the Word of God above the presence of God. Amen. And so he learned a valuable lesson, and you and I can learn a valuable lesson here tonight about the power of the Word of God. You get it, you understand it, and when the Lord quickens it to you, you hold on to it. Regardless of what you feel, you hold on to the Word of God. You hold on to the Word of God. Amen. Through the storm, through the night, through the dark, through the terror, hold on to the Word of God. Because He made a promise, and He quickened that promise to you. Amen. His Word spoke to you, and you hold on to it. No matter what you see or don't see, you hold on to it. That's how you increase your faith. Read the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. And listen to it. Let it become part of you. The Word of God. Amen. And then lastly, one of the great ways to increase your faith is your testimony. Huh. Praise the Lord. Testimonies have power, folks. Amen. If you don't believe that, you go down to a court and you listen to somebody give a testimony. Guy's sitting there in trial and he thinks he's about ready to skate, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and let me tell you what I saw. And he gives his testimony. And if it's a convincing testimony, amen, it changes everything. Amen. A testimony, by its definition, has to be something that you saw, or you heard, or you experienced. It cannot be hearsay. A testimony cannot be said, well, my grandpa told me. No, that's not a testimony. My mama said, that's not a testimony. My daddy one time told me, that's not a testimony. A testimony is what happened to you. Amen. It's the old song that said, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. That's what a testimony is. It's what I saw and what I heard and what I experienced. And there's no substitute for that kind of a testimony. And when you get to talking about what happened to you, woo, glory. I love to tell people my testimony, don't you? You know, Paul did that. Paul was a great preacher. Paul was a great Bible scholar. But his most effective witness was his testimony. He just told people what happened to him. Amen. I've heard people say, I'd like to witness for the Lord, but I don't know a lot of scriptures. You don't have to. All you got to do is just tell them what happened to you. People can argue scriptures, but they can't argue what happened to you. People can argue when you said, you know, I was sick. I had cancer or this or that, and a prayer was made, and God healed me and raised me up, praise the Lord, and I'm clean and I'm whole and I'm healthy now. That's a testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was addicted to one thing or another, and God delivered me. And I've never gone back to that again. I've been free, hallelujah, all these years. That's a testimony. Amen. My life was full of misery and doubt and fear and woe, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and since that time I've had peace and joy, and He filled me with His righteousness, and that's a testimony. So you can tell people what happened to you. Revelation 12 and 11, the Bible said of the tribulation saints, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. They just kept standing for what's right, believing God and believing in what He had done for them. Brother Grissom, what are we going to do whenever we don't take the mark of the beast and we're not going to be able to buy or sell? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to stand on your testimony. Well, how are we going to make it? The same book that said, "My grace is sufficient for you." How many believe God can supply your needs? Is He doing it now? Can He do it then? Amen. He can do what He needs to do. Amen. When you need more grace, He'll give more grace. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Amen. We've had it kind of easy the last few years, honestly, in a lot of ways. As far as many things, many of us, you know, we've lived pretty comfortable. We've had nice houses. We've driven dependable cars. We've had plenty of food and lots of variety. Yes, we have. Pretty good. In many of these ways. Yes, sir, we have. Shake your head like this right here. That's right, Brother Grissom. In comparison to what a lot of the folks have gone through, we've had it pretty good. Amen. So if it gets tough, and it may very well, I'm just telling you, God's grace is sufficient. And whenever the need's there, grace will be there. And He'll take you through. Amen. I've heard people say, "Oh, Brother Grissom, where's the miracles? Why don't we see miracles? We don't have the needs." That's right. Amen. We see miracles for what we need. How's God going to give you a great need of provision unless you need something? Are you willing to need something? Do you want Him to take it away so He can show you a great miracle? Not really. Amen. I'm just pretty happy with the way it is right now, Lord. And you know, that's what you need to do, okay. But right now, I just soon now. Amen. Well, I'd like to see a great miracle of healing. Well, you want to get sick? Well, isn't that what it takes? You're not going to have a miracle unless you got a need. It's impossible. You want to see God do great miracles? Well, have great needs. And when you have great needs, you'll have great miracles. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we may get there. And when we do, His grace will be sufficient. Amen. So God supplies by His blood. Amen. There's power in the blood. I love that old song. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. 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 Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. Amen. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Every sin can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the blood. Amen. And then the word of their testimony. The Bible said, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He just pleased God. And so one day, God just said, "All right, Enoch, why don't you just come on home with me?" Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. That only happened to Enoch. I don't know. I don't know of anybody else in the Scriptures that ever happened to. Just Enoch, one man. Only one man picked his foot up off of the ground to take a step and never put it down on earth again. God just took him out. Boom. And he was gone. Hallelujah. Now, I know Moses went up on the mountain. The Bible said he died, though. And God buried him. I don't know about that ceremony either. I'm sure it was really sweet. God preaching Moses' funeral. Amen. And but nonetheless, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Amen. The testimony that you need to strive for is pleasing God. Not that you're so spiritual you got a cross that blinks in your forehead. Not that you're so spiritual that blood and oil drips out of your fingertips. Not that you're so spiritual you speak in tongues 23 hours a day. Amen. The testimony you need is that you please God. You please God. That's the greatest testimony. Amen. Mark chapter 1, 44, Jesus healed a leper. And he said to him, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for testimony unto them." A testimony unto them. Now, I don't know what the Bible doesn't say. I know what the Bible does say. I do know this. Although under the law there was provision for the healing of lepers, in the Old Testament, the only leper that I know of that was cleansed was a leper by the name of Naaman, his name was Naaman. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was acting on the word of a little Jewish girl, but he was a Gentile. He was healed of leprosy. Miriam was healed of leprosy. That was before the law. Under the law, I don't know of any Jewish person that was ever healed of leprosy. There was provision, and there may have been, but if there was, it's not recorded in the Scriptures. So when this man came to the temple, and he told those priests, he said, "I used to be a leper, but now I'm cleansed." You talk about a testimony. They started scratching their head and they said, "How did this happen?" Amen. He said, "Put me to the test." Amen. I know I'm healed. Hallelujah. I know I'm cleansed. I used to be a leper, but I'm a miracle now. Because a man called Jesus cleansed me. Amen. He said, "You go and you." That's a testimony to them. And you know what that testimony was? That testimony said, "A greater than Abraham is here, and a greater than Moses is here, and a greater than David is here, and a wiser than Solomon is here. Messiah has come." That was the testimony that he bore when he came to those men. He had a testimony. My, what a testimony. Woo! You know, he couldn't go home because he's a leper. And when he opened the door to his house, and he stepped in, and here's tears running down his cheeks, and he said, "Honey, I'm home." Amen. And fear fell across her face, and she said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Don't worry. I'm not a leper anymore. I've been healed by a man called Jesus." Thank you, Lord. You talk about increasing faith. Amen. A testimony. That's what a testimony is right there. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. My. Amen. That'll build your faith right there. Amen. Jesus went to Decapolis, stepped out of the... and a demoniac man onto him and began to fell at his feet and began to worship him. Now this man was full of devils. This man didn't have a song. This man was covered with scars and with wounds and with bleeding sores. And when he came to Jesus, he fell down and he began to worship. Jesus cast the spirits out of that man. Amen. He delivered him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said, Mark chapter 5, verse 18, talking about Jesus. And when he was come into the ship, He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he with him. Now, I want you to get this. This man had only been with Jesus a very short time. I'm not talking about days. I'm talking about no more than hours. No more than a few hours. Amen. Howbeit Jesus suffered him or allowed him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Did you get that? Now this man, you talk about a new convert. Somebody said, well, you know, I hadn't been in the church very long. I don't know what to say. Well, it's not about what you say, it's about what you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, it's still about what you are. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. He didn't say you shall say things. He said that you're going to be that. A witness is a state of being. Amen. It means that you're not what you was, it's what you have become. And it's a changed life. And it's a living testimony. So he says to this man, he said, you go tell your friends. Now you talk about a testimony. He had a testimony. When they saw him walk into town and they recognized him, you talk about people's eyes getting big and jaws dropping open. Amen. They saw him walking down the street. Big eyes got big getting ready. If they weren't, they were running. Because the maniac had come to town. Amen. They knew him. They knew his testimony. He said, oh, no. You hadn't heard my testimony yet. That's what I was. Wait till you hear what I am. Hear what's happened to me. Wait till you hear about the change in my life. Wait till you hear what a man called Jesus did for me. And then he began to give his testimony. And these same, you remember these people? They told Jesus, they said, you leave our coast. We don't hear. But after his testimony, amen, they begin to say, where is this man? Is he ever going to come back this way again? Could he do for me what he's done for you? I have a friend that has a need. Some of my children are sick. And they begin to bring their needs to him. You can look over in Mark chapter 8, and the Bible says that the next time Jesus came, there was a multitude waiting for him. That multitude come from? They came from the of one man that had a testimony of what God had done for him. Amen. That's how God increases your faith. Amen. You hear great testimony about what God's done for somebody else. It makes you think, well, you know, maybe you can do that for me. Amen. Isn't that our job? Just go tell people what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. That's your job. That's my job. I don't have to argue with people, and I don't. I don't want to. Amen. You can argue with people if you want to. I'm not arguing with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I don't know what the Lord's done for me. Hallelujah. Praise. I'm not interested, Brother Weston, when in some kind of religious argument. It's not about whose church is better than somebody else's church. Amen. That's not what it's about. It's about the Lord and what he wants to do for them. Hallelujah. Is doctrine important? Yeah. But whenever he does what he wants to do, then they'll get the doctrine. Amen. Right now, they need to have an experience with Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that right? Somebody said they don't care what you know until they know that you care. That's the first step. Amen. So you grow your faith by your testimony. And the more you tell my testimony, Brother Grissom's not very exciting. Have you told it lately? Hallelujah. Woo! Have you found somebody that didn't know the Lord and began to share your testimony with them lately? You know, telling them, and all of a sudden you'll start feeling it. Amen. You don't have to tell them you don't have to make up stories about how God delivered you from drugs if he didn't. You don't have to have any great testimony how you're on death row and you were getting, the governor was ready to pull, and the man's ready to pull a switch and God saved you. And you don't have to have that kind of testimony either. Amen. All you got to do is say, once I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was full of trouble, and He gave me peace. I was weary, and He gave me... I was living in chaos, and He brought purpose and direction in my life. He gave me a peace that passes understanding. And I have a joy even in the middle of the night. I sing song night. God's been good to me. Amen. That's all folks need to hear. Amen. He can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. We know that. We just tell people what the Lord's done for you. It'll build your faith. Increase your faith. And it'll certainly increase their faith. Isn't that right? It'll increase their faith. Let's stand together tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, when you're something and you're having a hard time, and a brother or sister talks with you and they tell you something that the Lord has done, it builds your faith. You know, if you're sick and they tell you about healing, it builds your faith. Amen. If you're struggling with some temptation and they tell about deliverance, it just builds your faith. Whatever you're going through, you get to talking to somebody that's the Lord has done something for them, and they begin to share that with you. It'll build your faith every time. Testimony. The Word will do it. Prayer will do it. Testimony will do it. The blood of the Lamb will do it. Amen. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Amen. That's how it happens. Praise God. That's how it happens. Amen. God wants to do that tonight. Somebody's struggling. God wants to increase your faith here tonight. Amen. Yes, He does. He wants to increase your faith here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Devil been telling you lies. You don't listen to him. Praise God. You find you a place of prayer and you start rebuking him and casting him away. Amen. Turn your ears and your eyes away from him. Look to the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. Amen. Fill your heart with the word of God and faith. Amen. Get to listening to some testimonies. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible's full of them. I said the Bible is full of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you sick? Start reading about people Jesus healed. Amen. Praise God. Feel bound? Start reading about people the Lord delivered. Amen. Whatever you need tonight, build your faith. Prayer, the Word of God, your testimony, the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's what works. That's what works. Amen. I think it'd be good if we'd just step out here for a minute, come to the altar, lift up our hands and say, God, we want you to increase our faith here. I need you. Oh, I need you, Jesus. I need you. If I don't think I do, then I really do. If I feel sufficient right now, that means I could be setting myself up for a fall. I need you every hour. I need you every day. Amen. I need you every moment of every hour of every day. I need you every second of every moment of every hour of every day. Jesus, I need you. I can't make it. I can't make it without you. Amen. Praise the Lord. The psalmist said that he needed you more than his necessary food, the necessary water, the necessary breath. We need you tonight, Jesus. We can't really live life without you. We can exist. Amen. We can draw breath until we draw our final. But if we're really going to live, we've got to have you. If we're going to step into eternity alive, we're going to have you. If we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to have you. If there's going to be any meaning in my life, any joy in my life, I've got to have you. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need
tomorrow.
I need you. I want you.
I need tomorrow.
Help me to understand tonight, God. Help me to exercise my privilege.
I need you more.